1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A tornado has torn through parts of Texas. News 9 storm tracker Val Castor describes the devastation in Matador and the search for a missing RV.
Saw cars that were wadded up like a tin can, axles twisted, crazy, crazy stuff, but we never found the RV. So they are still out there looking for that RV with two people in it. We've driven all around town. And this is all consistent with F4 damage at least. Very, very violent tornado hit Matador, Texas.
A tornado watch has been issued for an area of western Oklahoma. That is the sound of hail pelting concert goers at Red Rocks in Morrison, Colorado. Dad girl Kaylee posted that on her Twitter account, along with pictures of people with huge welts after being pummeled by chunks of hail as they ran for cover. The search continues for the submersible that disappeared on an expedition to the wreckage of the Titanic.
We are smack dab in the middle of search and rescue.
Search teams are unsure if the vessel is sitting on the bottom of the ocean, where the conditions are near freezing and pitch black.
You're trying to find a special rock that might look like a rock on a sonar system.
The search area is now two times the size of Connecticut and up to 2.5 miles deep.
CBS's Roxana Saberi reports banging noises in the search area have given rescuers hope that the crew members are still alive, although they may only have enough oxygen for a few more hours. Federal regulators have given two California companies the okay to start manufacturing lab-grown chicken. Here's CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The cell-cultivated chicken will first be available at a restaurant in San Francisco and another one in Washington, D.C., owned by famed chef Jose Andres, before hitting stores.
CBS News is out with a new poll on affirmative action, as the Supreme Court is expected to soon issue a ruling on the subject.
The CBS News poll finds Americans roughly split on the question of affirmative action generally, with 53% saying such policies should continue and 47% saying they should be abolished. But on the question of college admissions, which the Supreme Court's expected to weigh in on this month, 7 in 10 in our poll say race should not be a factor. 90% of those polled say racism continues to be a problem in the U.S. More than half say it's still a major problem.
At CBS's Stephen Portnoy. The U.S. Postal Service has just unveiled a postage stamp honoring the late Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. Here's Postmaster General Louis DeJoy.
We hope that this stamp might spark young people to learn more about the life of John Lewis and his long legacy of public service.
This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Nissan knows that thrill should start the moment you see a car. The 2023 Nissan Ariya blends timeless and futuristic elements of Japanese design, while the 2023 Nissan Z's sleek roofline was inspired by a samurai sword. From the arc of the roof to the way the headlamp meets the grille, every detail of a Nissan vehicle is designed to get your heart racing before you ever press start. Make every mile exciting with Nissan. Head to NissanUSA.com for more information.
Introducing My Plan from Verizon. With My Plan, you pick only the perks you want and save on every one. So you get exactly what you want and only pay for what you need. And for a limited time only, get the amazing iPhone 14 Pro Max on us when you switch with select trade-in and unlimited plus. Act now and get iPhone 14 Pro Max with My Plan at your Verizon store today. Up to $1,599.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line postpaid unlimited plus plan required. $200 Verizon e-gift card sent within 8 weeks with portal. That's up to $1,000 trade-in promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR. Trading conditions apply.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com. I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 57. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 85. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows around 60. High of 87 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 91 Saturday, chance for scattered showers.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madnair. And it's Wednesday, so Greg Bach is here. And a quick shout out to happening in downtown Waukesha right now is River Rhythms, which we talked to Robin earlier this week.
Exactly.
So Wednesdays, 11 to 1:30, there's music happening, and our own Johnny Watermolen is down there, so make sure you say hi if you make it down.
Yep, he's got the tent set up. He is going to be there until 1 o'clock, and then Johnny is taking the WKAUK set to the Pewaukee Lake Country Farmers Market. That is at Christ Lutheran Church on Pewaukee Road from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. And I know for a fact that he has Tootsie Pops to give away.
Oh, did you give him the Tootsie Pops?
I gave him the credit card to buy
I'm out of here. See y'all later. I got some Tootsie Pops.
Say, did you give him all the discarded flavors from our Tootsie Pop bowl?
He bought new Tootsie Pops.
All right. Well, speaking of music, we're very excited to have our next guest here. It's been a while since we've had him on. But ladies and gentlemen, Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, a local arts and entertainment website that has somehow existed since 2014 is
That's
back
right.
on the show.
What a setup.
Thank you. It has somehow, against all odds, not only am I alive, but I have a job that this phony baloney job that I made up almost 10 years ago with, of course, my partner in crime, Tyler Moss. Could not do it, of course, without Tyler. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Jane. Hello, Greg. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great.
Great to see you, man.
I'm loving this energy, the Matt Wild energy happening
here. Energy.
Oh, well, yeah, when you bring me on, you're getting energy, and you clearly need to fill some time. So it's like, let's get Matt on here. He can blather on about something for about 17 minutes. So it probably bodes well for your show, Kristen, that you haven't had me on in some time, which means that you've actually had guests of, you know, a certain quality.
So. Okay, Matt. All right, enough with
well, enough with the self-deprecation.
Yeah, wow. Leave it to the stand-up comedians over here. That's my jab.
Okay, all right. You're right. All right. Let's get down to business.
All right. Well, actually, I wanted to give you a shout-out because Gary Witt, owner of Pabst Theater and all the Pabst Theater group, gave you a very nice shout-out recently as far as your coverage of entertainment in Milwaukee, and it came at a dig at the expense of some of the other media outlets and their lack Perfect. Of coverage of music and concerts, but he specifically called you out on how good of a job you do as far as covering the entertainment scene in Milwaukee. So kudos.
Yeah, it was very nice. I wrote a review of the Flaming Lips show, which was last week at the Riverside Theater. Hadn't seen the Flaming Lips in many years, and saw them last Tuesday at the Riverside, and it was a very a very lovely, very affecting show. And I kind of walked away very inspired to write a what I thought was a very lovely piece, kind of a not your typical concert review. So I kind of, you know, went off the rails a little bit. But I like doing that sort of thing. And yeah, I was very happy that very happy to get a compliment from Gary. The band itself, Flaming Lips, they shared it and did the whole thing. So yeah, it did really well.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really nice.
Congrats.
You know,
yeah, it was a nice thing to write. So I'm glad it resonated with people.
You know, I'm glad you used the word affected. I feel like the Flaming Lips are a band, even if you don't like them or if you don't know them, you're not a huge fan, I still think everyone should see them because I feel like you're going to walk out of that concert feeling joy and positive. I've seen them 8 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I'm bummed that I missed them last week because I saw them at the Riverside years ago and I danced on stage in a Yo Gabba Gabba costume for the entire time.
Oh, you were one of those.
I was one of the dancers.
There, yeah.
And it was they can make you feel so good. And I love the fact that they've inspired you to write a great article, too. So, yes, big ups to the Flaming Lips.
Big ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you have a lot more to write it on in the next couple of weeks because Summerfest is back.
It's very, very exciting. Summerfest, you mentioned before the break that it had kind of snuck up on you. And, yeah, I think that's something we could talk about. It does have that feeling now that it's this weekend, quote unquote, weekend format. It's actually Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday. 3 consecutive blocks of Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It does tend to kind of sneak up on folks, and it's certainly changed. And, you know, from years past when it was like a big, like 11-day block, or I think they would take like a Monday off or whatever to, you know, clean the bathrooms or whatever. But, you know, it was a big block of, you know,
it was 10 days, right? It was 10 days in a row.
When I was a kid, it was uninterrupted.
Yeah.
From the Thursday to the week, like a week and a half.
I think it's until 2019 it was uninterrupted.
Well, no, for a couple of years they were taking that like July 4th off because just no one was coming in.
That's right. So, yeah, now they started this 3-weekend format, I believe, in 2021, mm-hmm. I want to say, was the first time. So there obviously wasn't a Summerfest in 2020 mm-hmm. at all. And then they came back in 2021 with this 3-weekend deal. And that year was very, very strange. Not only was it just kind of, you know, whether or not it was out of the pandemic is, you know, up to you know, everyone,
but
it was still kind of in that shadow, and it was like pushed back until like late in the summer. It was practically fall.
That's right.
2021. Yeah. The opening weekend was like Labor Day weekend, and like nobody went because, you know, for a million reasons, and like including me, it's like I have Labor Day plans. I go camping mm-hmm. for Labor Day, and so like nobody went. I think the subsequent weekends picked up a little bit. So that was kind of a very bizarre year. And then last year, it was kind of, I guess, back to quote-unquote normal, back to the 3-weekend format again. And now in 2023, I am very, very curious about this year's Summerfest because 2023 feels like the real deal. We're out of the pandemic. You know, I'm going to say it. Pandemic. We're out of the pandemic. It's you know, it's post-pandemic. It's here it is. I'm really curious, like how this one is going to pan out because I don't know. I like Summerfest. I have aged into the, you know, like prime Summerfest demographic of like everything I'm excited to see at Summerfest. All the artists are playing at like 3 p.m. So
Collective Soul.
Yeah, I'm, you know, it's like very exciting. It's like I'm seeing Jenny Lewis at 4 p.m.
Oh.
Like, I cannot wait. Super excited. And Collective Soul at 10. I'm going to have to think about that. But so I don't know. I'm just very, very curious about this year. Attendance at Summerfest has been interesting. It has been declining. And even before the pandemic, I think the last 2019, the last kind of pre-pandemic year, the attendance was 718,144. That was actually the lowest at the time, the lowest attendance in like 30 years for Summerfest. That was 2019, before the pandemic. Then, of course, in 2020, there was no Summerfest at all. 2021, it was 409,000. And then last year, 2022, it was a slight uptick, but really not that much. It was 445,000. People.
And that's cumulative over all of the days. So that could be repeat people coming back?
That's a really good question. I could not tell you. I don't know.
I know that. So when I worked for Pride Fest, we would check the counters when you walk in, it clicks like, or with tickets, you can do ticket scans or you can count when you walk in that, like that thing, that bar will click the visitors. Mm-hmm. So you can get those counts. So,
but like if you're someone who goes every single day, mm-hmm. you get counted 9 times.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I would think so, yeah.
So the overlap there. So I guess we're talking to Matt Wild, who's a co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest, which kicks off this weekend. I like Summerfest. I like going to walk around. I would say there's no one specific that Greg rolled his eyes at me this morning. We are going to go see Dave Matthews Band next week. Which I'm very excited about. It's very nostalgic. He puts on a great show. I don't care. But I still just like the vibe of going down and there's music everywhere. Yeah. And when the weather's good, you're like, this is awesome. Like you can just kind of walk and roam from stage to stage and find new music. But I guess in thinking through those numbers, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask this question, but like at this point, who is Summerfest for?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question. And it's, I think, you know, for so long, it was a festival. It's such a bizarre kind of idiosyncratic festival. And it's part of the reason why I love it so much. It's this weird festival that tries to be like everything to everyone, mm-hmm. You know, as much as it can. And of course, it's going to leave out some real kind of, you know, outlying kind of music genres. But like, you know, there's not a lot of hardcore music at Summerfest. Actually, there might be this year. Come to think of it. But, you know, it tries to be everything to everyone. It tries to have a little bit of everything. And I think for the longest time that worked for Summerfest throughout the, you know, like 70s and 80s and into the aughts. I think the highest attendance year for Summerfest was like 2001 or the early aughts. I think it topped 1 million people. And that's back when it was, yeah, 10 or 11 days. But these days, I'm just always curious. Yeah, that is the question. Like, who is this for? Because I think the music business and just the way we consume music has changed so much just in the last, you know, decade, really. And music has become so fragmented and so niche. And fandoms are, there's just a million tiny little fandoms of people who like absolutely love one artist that the fandom, you know, right next door has never heard of. Mm-hmm. And it's, you just don't have these big tent mainstream artists like you used to. I mean, of course, there are some, and, you know, there are people like, you know, the very top would be, you know, people like Taylor Swift or Beyonce, folks like that. They're still out there, but they're just not as many as those big mainstream artists as there once were that would, you know, there'd be a dozen of them playing like any random Summerfest one year. And now it's like, yeah, I mean, Dave Matthews Band is, you know, I mean, there are a lot of these legacy groups that, you know, do have a big audience, but, you know, especially the ground stage headliners, I just are increasingly more niche, and there are real dedicated fan bases for a lot of these artists. But like I said, if you ask the person standing next to you, if they know this person, like, I have no idea who this is. So,
and it's so interesting because we're going to talk about this more after the break, but I feel like that's the same thing with a lot of different media. Like there's no movie stars anymore. Because there's a lot of famous people. There's lots of people who have millions and millions of followers that you have never heard of, right? Because we all live in our little, like, corners of whatever platform we consume stuff on. So mm-hmm. we got to take a break, but we're talking to Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest. We'll be back in a minute.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, Eastside, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 60 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 85 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Partly cloudy skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 83. 88 Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women.
Welcome
got
back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Bednar. He is Greg Bach. We are talking to Matt Wild from Milwaukee Record, and we're going to get right to the call on the phone from Scott. We have a question.
Scott from Chicago, what do you want to ask?
Hey, so I don't recall whether Lollapalooza was a response to Summerfest or the other way around, but it seems like when the artists were released for Lollapalooza, the reception was very underwhelming. A lot of people were saying, like, I don't see a single artist I want to see this year. And I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, it used to be the number one thing in Chicago. I guess kind of my question is, does it seem like music festivals as a whole are on the decline?
I would say you're absolutely right. I think the big festivals, your Coachellas, your Lollapaloozas, Bonnaroos, like that, I think there was kind of a bubble that burst even maybe right before the pandemic started. Of course, that's kind of the big division point, 2020. But even before that, I think it was getting to a point where a lot of these festivals were just kind of getting too big. And like I was talking about before, you know, everything had become so fragmented that there was just so many bands that, you know, maybe, you know, 20 people were really excited about, but that was it. I absolutely agree. Speaking of Summerfest and Lollapalooza, I remember one of my first shows that I ever went to was Lollapalooza in 1994. Which was held at the Summerfest grounds. This is way back when Lollapalooza was like a touring thing, mm-hmm. toured the country. And that was like a huge, huge deal. And that was like my first big show that I ever went to. I was still in high school. And it was actually the Flaming Lips played like outside on the second stage. But like the headliners were, I believe it was the year that Nirvana was supposed to play. They obviously did not. But it was like the Smashing Pumpkins, the Beastie Boys, Nick Cave, the Frogs from Milwaukee, the Breeders, on and on and on. And that was, you know, really felt like a big tent kind of very of the time alternative bands of that era. But, you know, as time has gone on, even those bands, which, you know, got played 24 hours on MTV, there's just nothing like that anymore. And everything has become so fragmented. So, yeah, I think, you know, whether it's Lollapalooza or Coachella, I think a lot of those festivals just kind of got too big and they just don't quite fit into the current musical landscape.
Thanks for calling, Scott. Thanks for listening too.
Yeah, it's interesting of just the, like, what do you want to spend your money on?
Well, that's the thing too, is when you tell me you're going to Lollapalooza or Ride Fest in Chicago, You're telling me you're going to go see some bands. If you're telling me you're going to Bonnaroo or Coachella, you're telling me you have money. That's what you're telling me. Like, that's what I hear when I hear those two festivals, because they're very expensive festivals. Yeah. And they're about luxury and glamour and stuff like that.
What is going to Burning Man tell you about a person?
Oh, just wash yourself and stop reading so much bee poetry, you hippie.
You're a leather worker.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You own an artisan mayonnaise shop. I don't know. But the question I have is with this format now, the three weekends, and this is, just, I mean, I'm not saying it's conspiracy theory because it's not that deep, but could Summerfest be tempting with the idea of like going to a weekend festival, like one weekend? You have all that space. You could pack it with all the bands they have at Lollapalooza in an easier way to access them, charge a huge ticket price, and you have one weekend Summerfest music festival, and there it is. And you can have those tentpole legacy bands playing at all these stages, and you can also have up-and-coming musicians playing in the daytime as well, not just local bands or touring bands who happen to be there in the day. I mean, could that be where Summerfest is going?
That's interesting. I've never considered that. I have been kind of wondering about just the size of Summerfest, especially when I went last year. Again, attendance was, you know, like in the 400,000 range, 450 or whatever, but it just struck me there was just so much space that was not being used. And there were so many like beer kiosks that were just closed. And it just seems like that entire grounds is so, so big. And it worked well, you know, for decades and into the early aughts. But now, again, that's why I'm really curious about this year. Mm-hmm. Like if this year is a big rebound or not, because I did get this sense last year. I was like, boy, this just feels, the grounds feel too big. And even the three weekend format, Greg, like you were saying, maybe feels too big and too spread out. I don't know.
Because there is one thing that Summerfest does do, and I think especially since in the 21st century, is a reinvention, a revitalization. Because I remember growing up, when you went to Summerfest, you were always seeing the REO Speedwagon cover band, the Journey cover band, the Meatloaf cover band. And then all of a sudden you start seeing bands like, oh, these are bands I really like and my friends really like, and they're popular on alternative radio, starting to bring in different acts and reinventing to make it more palatable. So maybe this next step is making it for the masses.
Yeah. Well, with the minute and a half that we have left, Matt, what's coming up with Milwaukee Record? Any shows, any movies?
We have a movie tonight, actually.
What a segue.
We do a monthly screening at the Avalon Atmospheric Theater in Bayview. And tonight we are screening Starship Troopers, the classic, oft misunderstood film from the 90s, Starship Troopers. That's screening tonight at the Avalon at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available. And we'll be back next month at the Avalon. We always do these old retro screenings. So, yeah, check us out.
Very great. That's great. Well, we'll have to have you back sooner than we won't go as much time in between appearances.
Right.
And so
I'll be waiting right here in my office.
I know, just, you know, the it's not the EAA that you came on last year and bitched about. What was the air show? You're not a big fan of the air show.
The Aaron Water
show. Not the one in Oshkosh, show. The one in the Milwaukee. Yeah. I remember.
It's awful.
So maybe I'm not alone.
It's awful.
We'll have you back to complain about that again this year. Get off
that
my lawn.
That is July 22nd to the 23rd, so buckle up.
All right, Matt Wild is the co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record. Certainly check them out. It is a very entertaining website with lots of good writing and lots of great reviews of music, local music. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
We go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy. Life's for living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All into it, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 57. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 85. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows around 60. High of 87 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 91 Saturday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
To do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your
Ethel, calm down!
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. He is Greg Bach. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I am a big sports fan, grew up in a big sports household. My dad played basketball for the Badgers. My brother, you didn't know that, Greg?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bye-bye.
And so I grew up playing sports, and I'm a big advocate of sports, not so much because I think, you know, every kid's going to get a chance to go play in college or whatever, but just because of what it teaches you. And the thing is, I was very fortunate to be able to play all of these different sports. And my parents made sure I was active and involved in all these things, but that is not the case for everyone. And so I'm so excited to welcome our next guest. Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, which is a collective effort to ensure Milwaukee's youth have access to high quality sports program. Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And so tell us more about Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance.
Yeah, so the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance is a relatively new organization. So it started in 2018, essentially from a series of conversations that were happening in the community. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation had an event called On the Table. And so essentially what they did is they tried to tackle Milwaukee's problems by convening stakeholders and, you know, discussing these problems and finding solutions to them. And so from one of these conversations, they talked about youth sports and what youth sports looked like in Milwaukee. And so there were a number of stakeholders at the table who decided, you know, we need to do something. And so in 2018, the Milwaukee Bucks, Beta Philanthropies, Milwaukee Kickers, and then America Scores Milwaukee essentially formed what we now know as the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. And so that's how we started in 2018. And so we are essentially, like you said, a collective effort to support and amplify what youth sports looks like here in Milwaukee to make sure, ensure that all youth have access to high quality youth sports programs that support not only their physical well-being, but also their mental well-being.
So then how does it work, like, practically? Because I'm assuming you guys aren't the ones that are necessarily running the Little League or running the basketball tournaments. And there's so many different sports that kids can get involved in. And so how do you like the Alliance bridge the gap between kids who want to play and getting them connected to the programs that already exist or making those programs even better than they already are?
Yeah, exactly. So we, as an organization, see ourselves as the intermediary. We aren't the organization that are putting on the events. We're supporting the organizations that are already doing the great work. We kind of see ourselves as like the intermediary, but then like the governing body of all youth sports. And so if you've got organizations like the Boys and Girls Club or Milwaukee Rec or any private sports organizations, we support the work that they're doing and amplify not only the work, build capacity and then build awareness. You know, if there are organizations within communities that are offering sports programs that kids don't know about, we want to make sure that the word is getting out and parents are able to access those programs. So that's kind of the function that we see ourselves in. It's somewhat of a new idea to have an organization that is a youth sports organization, but we don't offer sports. Mm-hmm. We're the supportive body. And so when I'm talking to people about the work that we do, they often are like, well, what do you do? When can I sign my kids up for basketball?
Where's the registration form?
Exactly. And so I'm like, you know, we don't do that, but we've got 72 organizations that are part of our membership that we want to connect you to. And so our role or our focus is to make sure that the community is connected to these organizations and then support those organizations. So, for example, we provide training for all of our members, and that training consists of training all coaches and mentors in social emotional learning, trauma informed care, and sports based youth development. We want to make sure that those coaches have that foundation to kind of build off of when they're interacting with youth. You know, if we are as parents entrusting these coaches to do great work with our kids, we want to make sure that they're adequately prepared in order to understand what youth development looks like and how to manage a kid's emotions or how to integrate social emotional learning into your practices, or understanding that some kids might come with some level of trauma and our engagement with them can determine whether or not they have a great experience in sport or a horrible experience in sport. Yeah. And so understanding those things is, you know, kind of like the meat of what we do.
We're talking to Quentin Prince, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, about the program, how it works. But I also, like, I kind of touched on this in the beginning. Like, I know what sports gave me and gave my friends and stuff, but like, there's actual data that shows what youth sports can do for a kid, right? As far as like the benefits it provides for their character, for their success, for just like finishing school. So what are some of the data points or success stories that you point to as far as like why this is so important to fund and prioritize?
Exactly. So we know that, you know, kids participating in sports, they get all kinds of things outside of the physical wellness, you know. It dabbles in how to teach them to be a leader, communication skills, how to work within a team, We know all those benefits, but we don't always see sports as that thing that provides all those benefits. And that's one thing that we want to do as an organization, is to get people to understand it's not about your kid just going to play in the game. We're trying to create great humans. And so understanding the benefits that you get from sport, like you said, there's tons of data out there that show that. But then also getting people to understand that sports is not something that's separate from youth development. It's a part of the whole. Hmm. And so making sure that people understand, if you want to make sure that your kid is holistically developed, you have to integrate sports in there, because it provides all those other things. And like you said, we see the data to show, you know, if a kid participates in sports, how they do better in the classroom. They're more engaged, they're more active, they're more attentive. If a kid participates in sports, how that impacts health disparities and future health outcomes. If a kid participates in sports, we understand that they're less likely to be out in the streets, you know, committing some type of crime. So it's connected not only to education, health, and, you know, the community as a whole, as far as the benefit that it provides a kid an outlet to be involved in something positive and not out there doing negative things. So we understand all of those things, and we want to make sure that the community at large understands that.
And so with, because this, as I was reading a little bit more about this, there is a huge discrepancy, though, and this is part of why you guys exist as an organization. And I think Wisconsin Policy Forum, which we have on the show a lot, they did a whole paper on this as far as the discrepancies of access to sports. And that's things that I, having been a kid, didn't really, you know, you don't necessarily, and I don't have a kid yet, but it's like the cost of being in sports and whether or not your schools has sports. And so what has kind of the landscape been as like created barriers or obstacles to kids actually participating?
Exactly. So when we started the organization, the Wisconsin Policy Forum and our leaders at MISA essentially put together a report, and that report was that report was titled Above the Rim, and it gave us a high level overview of what youth sports looked like in Milwaukee, but then also the barriers to accessing sports. And one of the top two things were transportation and cost. And so we understood that kids wanted to participate in sports, parents wanted them to be able to participate in sports, but they lacked the financial means to be able to access it. And so then that creates a barrier. So that's part of our mission, is to make sure that kids have that access. So whether it's us partnering with organizations that can help subsidize the fees and costs that come along with that, or getting organizations to understand that when you create this fee structure, you have to be conscious of the fact that you might be creating a barrier.
Yeah.
And so I often have a conversation with private sports organizations that, you know, have high fees. You know, soccer, for example, is an organization or a sport that historically is like the, or not historically, but like within the last few years has increased like that pay to play model. And so kids are essentially boxed out of that. I was talking to a gentleman last week over at Northwestern Mutual, and he was talking about his kids participating in sports and how they were shelling out at least 10 grand a year for the kids to participate in just soccer programs.
And how old were the kids?
12.
Jeez.
Quentin, you said $10,000?
$10,000.
That's more than a year at like a UW school.
Ridiculous. And so we want to make sure that those type of things aren't necessarily happening and boxing people out of the access. Because again, if you don't have access to the sport because of the fees that are associated with it, then you miss out on all those other things we talked about, the benefits of, you know, all the other benefits that come along with sport that we know of. So yeah, we want to make sure that kids have access.
That is, because I read, it's like the privatization of youth sports. And like, you think about it, you think about like AAU tournaments and all these things that are your kid has to do this if they're going to have any chance of playing in college, which totally loses sight of all the benefits of benefits of playing sports, not just it being a stepping stone to the next thing. It's like, no, you're actually like being a better person, learning teamwork, like learning how to lose, all these things. And so when was the kind of like the tipping point of when sports were just kind of available and like youth sports was a, I don't want to say a public good, but as far as it was just like,
it was
just
there.
Could be part of it
yeah.
versus you needed to have money to play.
You went to the Y. You signed your cover for soccer, and they played soccer for a few years. That was it. Like, that's what we did when I was little. It was just there. Exactly.
And so when did that start to change?
So in the early 2000s is actually when it changed. So, you know, when I'm having this conversation with people about access to sports, I reference when I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I was playing sport. If you walked around a neighborhood and you asked 10 kids, do you play a sport? Nine out of 10 would say, yes, I play a sport because I'm able to participate in this league and this league and whatnot. Now we don't have that because we've got the prioritization of, you know, what sports look like. You know, and I understand it's business. It's a big business. But, you know, the more programs that you don't allow access to, the more kids who lose out on the opportunity to participate in sports. And so there are sports clubs that are out there that understand that, and they are determined to make sure that there's access and equity when it comes to sports. And they're doing tremendous work. It doesn't, you know, hurt their programs at all. But it really does hurt my heart sometimes when I see families who want to participate in sports but don't have the means, or when I'm talking to, you know, colleagues or friends or peers, and they're like, you know, my son, I was talking to one last week. She was saying she was packing. I was like, are you packing? You moving? Where are you going? Oh, my son has a baseball tournament, and he's going here, here, and here. And then I asked her how much she is paying for her son to participate in these programs. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, that is the business, and hopefully we'll see some change, because ultimately the things that we do now when it comes to sport will determine what sports looks like 10 years from now. And so if we don't find a way to change, we're going to have even more kids missing out on those opportunities 10 years from now.
Well, and also missing out on probably some really good athletes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like kids true. Who like, you know, and it's not always a meritocracy of who gets opportunities to play versus who gets, you know, whose parents can necessarily ship them off to be in every tournament and on every sport. Go ahead, Greg.
Still can't believe $10,000 to play soccer.
Like 12.
If you would have told me a $10,000, I would have said, oh, yeah, hockey. Because there's all the equipment. But like soccer was like you showed up, they may even give you, you know, shin pads, and then here's the ball. Go run around for a little while. How much is it going to cost? $12. Sign up for the summer. You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds criminal.
Well, with a couple minutes that we have left, Quentin, where should people find more information about the Alliance or anything else that's been going on with the group?
Yeah, so we are on all social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm not active really on Twitter, but
You're
not missing anything.
You can also go to our website and get all information as far as, you know, events and whatnot that we have coming up, programs that you can get involved in. And yeah, we want to get the word out there, and we want to bring people in to understand this is a movement that's happening. You know, I want people to jump on board.
Absolutely. Well, Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was super informative.
Appreciate you having me. This is awesome. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right, when we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on at the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Oh, baby.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off at Joy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July, Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Get ready to dominate the field them like never before. Get to Soccer World in Brookfield. They have a great selection of shoes, apparel, and accessories to help kick your game into high gear. Soccer World's team of soccer experts have over 38 years of experience in the retail and soccer market. From cleats to shin guards, jerseys to coaching equipment, they'll help you stay ahead of the game. Plus, look to Soccer World for all your team business needs. Soccer World, 12615 West North Avenue in Brookfield, or online at soccerworldofbrookfield.net.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear today, with daytime highs approaching 85. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 58. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow, high of 83. Partly cloudy Saturday, with daytime highs approaching 88. 84, chance for scattered thunderstorms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 1215, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alma Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medinair. He is Greg Bach. And Johnny Watermelon is still down at River Rhythms. Yes, I got it.
Tricky
River
Indicative.
Rhythms. I keep thinking of Rhythm and Booms, which was the annual Madison event for 4th of July. That was fireworks, but it was set to music.
Oh, cool.
So if you tuned into the appropriate radio station, you could hear the music that was set to the fireworks, and like you'd go into different parks and you could see it, and it was awesome. And so every time I think I hear rhythm for River Rhythms, I want to say rhythm booms.
I know whoever came up with that really patted themselves on the shoulder that day. Rhythm and booms. You get it?
Get it?
The thing is,
the music and the fireworks.
I'll take my raise.
Stop down and see Johnny Watermelon. He's got...
Wait, is his name Watermelon?
Yes.
Is it always been Watermelon? Watermelon?
It's Mullen, yes.
I've been calling him Johnny Watermelon this whole time.
He answers to that too.
Oscillates between how he introduces himself. The first time he ever introduced himself, he said Watermelon, and because I think he thinks it's easier for people to... Because he's an accommodating person.
That's just so Midwestern.
Yes.
It's like Jerry from The Office.
Anyway, go see Johnny. He is down at River Rhythms, Waukesha Old Bus Station. He'll be there until 1 o'clock today. And we had a text or two from the 262 that said Riverside Rhythms in Waukesha has the best food truck in the area at it today, Phoenix Mobile Grill. Try the Korean barbecue beef or the quesabirria.
All right.
I think we should go right after the show, you guys, and let's go get some lunch.
Is that texture from the Phoenix restaurant themselves? That was a very detailed description of... But hey, do your thing. Do your thing, Jelly Bean.
But maybe it's in my head now, and that's what I'm going to order.
Advertise that local business.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of advertising a local business...
Did there? I did that. Set it up right on the park.
What's going on at Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, my good gravy, my friend. We're going to be having great shows here with Casey Shornema, Saturday Night Live writer.
Oh, is coming currently?
Currently.
So well, she's not, on strike. Not, she's not, on strike right now.
Correct. But she's going to bring her comedy, her stand-up comedy, to the Laughing Tap for two shows. So one Friday, one Saturday. Tickets are selling right now, but they're still available. LaughingTap.com if you'd like to grab those tickets. Both shows at 7:30 both nights. And it's going to be really fun. Jane, we have a clip?
We do have a clip.
I'm doing great, too. I just came out to my coworkers. Thanks. As Asian, I had to, because since the pandemic started, I've been living as a Hispanic woman. Everyone was like, the Asian virus. I was like, aye, 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 you know? Qué lástima. I am Asian. I date a white guy. You guys knew that because you've seen porn before.
Oh my God.
I do. I fight with my boyfriend a lot. We fight because he says dumb shit to me. All right. Like the other day, he looked at me and he said, "You are so beautiful. Has anyone ever told you that?" I was like, I'm 27 years old. Why would no one ever have told me that? What do you think? You're some quirky guy who likes an ugly bitch, dude? Like, you think I've never been added on Facebook by an older Indian man?
I'm telling you, if you can, it's a Just for Laughs clip. Casey Sharnum, I watched that whole thing. It is phenomenal. I mean, so sharp. She's so deadpan, and she's just you don't expect the words to come out of her, and they do. And I was telling Jane, having a hard time finding a portion of the clip, because she doesn't swear a lot, but she swears enough where you're like, oh, I don't want to take away from the joke on the clip, but I cannot wait for her to be here. I'm so excited. So if you want to see some, I mean, just great writing, some great stand-up comedy, Laughing Tap this weekend, Casey Sharnuma, 7:30, Friday, 7:30, Saturday. Tickets are still available. And then the following 2 weeks, the Laughing Tap is closed.
Ooh, vacation?
We close the first, we close around the June, July area because we got the Summer Fest. It's getting real hot out there. People are wanting to get outside, and going inside to see comedy is not the big priority. So just take 2 weeks off. It's usually very low selling time anyway, so I get to enjoy some Friday and Saturday nights at home, or I'll go out. Maybe I will. Hearing about the attendance at Summerfest, maybe I will go now. Because one of the things for me, I don't dislike Summerfest for anything other than just so many people.
I agree with you.
It makes me anxious, and I don't say to be like, ugh, people. Like, it's just for me, it's like when you're bumping into people constantly, it kind of takes away from the fun. But if it's a little bit more sparse, maybe I will go. Who knows? I mean, right now, I mean, anyone who's anyone's like, do you need Summerfest tickets? I got Summerfest tickets. Do you need 50 of them? I'll give you 50 of them. Casey Sharnuma this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Also, I got to say something really quick.
Okay.
Got a call from a gentleman yesterday here at the studio. He wasn't upset with me, but he wasn't mad. He was disappointed. So if you want to come to the Laughing Tap, folks, here's the deal. You have to be 18 or older to get in without a parent or legal guardian. If you want to get in with a child, they have to be 16 and you have to be their parent or legal guardian. Under 16, not admitted, period. 16 to 17 must be with a parent or legal guardian. 18 and over, you can get in. We just ID you, put a stamp on your hand so you can't drink. Go from there. But I just want to make that clear now. He brought his son to the club to do stand-up for a project, and I understand, and I didn't make it, but it is on the website. I'm just going to say that right now. It's on the website.
But he called you here?
He was on the phone calling for Earl's show, and then happened to recognize my voice and said, hey, here's the thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. His son was in eighth grade. We couldn't let him in. I mean, just that's just what
it was. Was it for a show or was it for the open mic?
It's for the open mic, yeah.
So even open mic, young.
No.
If you're under 16, you got to practice your joke somewhere else.
You can, if you're 16 to 17, you can bring a parent. We've had that. We've had people bring their parents. So just want to make that very clear. But Casey Sharnuma, this weekend, 7:30 Friday, 7:30 Saturday, laughingtap.com. Then 2 weeks off. Open mic tonight. If you want to come on down, 7:30 it begins. 7 o'clock sign up. I love you all.
Greg Bach, everybody.
Greg Bach loves you all, people. You're my little babies.
All right, we're going to go get some lunch at Riverside Rhythms.
Yes. At the Phoenix Truck.
At the Phoenix Truck.
Yum.
Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. to do it all over again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
great if life came with remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes
Awareness Fund. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.